So many people go into marriage saying, oh, I found the perfect person. They're going to meet all my needs. You get married, then you find out they got bigger needs than you do. And you're going to be severely disappointed anytime you look to anybody else. Your parents can't meet all your needs. Your spouse can't meet all your needs. Your girlfriend, your boyfriend can't meet all your needs. In fact, you're setting yourself up for profound disappointment. Only God can meet all your needs.
Hello, and thanks for joining us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Today we continue with our series called Connecting with God, the Lord's Prayer. In it, Rick shows us what it means to truly be spiritually connected to God and to each other through the power of God's love and God's Word. Now, in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you how you can get this 8-message audio series on either CD or MP3, plus a brand new worship music CD from Saddleback Church titled First, just by supporting this ministry financially. You can find out more right now by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message, or you can just text the word daily to 99000 to find out more. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part two of a message called The Prayer of Dependence.
What does it mean to depend on God? It means three things. Number one, depending on God means seeing God as my source. That's the first step. Seeing God as my source. The source of what? Literally, the source of everything. Everything you see in the world and everything you can't see in the world and in the universe, God made. He is the source of everything. Air, light, water, atoms, everything you've got. Everything you have is from God as the source. He's the source of every good thing in the universe. Now, there are four truths you need to remember, and I want you to write these down. First, it's all a gift. It's all a gift from God. Everything is a gift from God. Nothing you have you earned. You don't earn air. You don't earn water. You don't earn life itself. You don't earn the sunlight that keeps you alive. You don't earn any of that. It's all a flat out gift. It's a gift of God's grace. If God didn't want to give it, you wouldn't have it. Even your life, you would not be taking your next breath. Every breath is a gift from God. And the Bible tells us in the book of James, every good and perfect gift is from God above. And that's why the Lord's Prayer in this third phrase starts with the word give. Give us today our daily bread. Why? Because it is a gift. You can't earn it. You can't earn it in any way. It's all a gift. Number two, write this down. There's nothing I need that God can't provide. There's nothing I need that God can't supply. He is the supplier of everything. Now, I don't know what you're going to need all this year. By the way, neither do you. But I do know this. Whatever you need, God has the power to supply. And the Bible says this. Philippians 4:19, God will supply all that you ever need from his glorious resources in Christ Jesus. A glorious resource means as lavish as only God can lavish. God has unlimited resources. Now what this means is if there's nothing I need that God can't provide, it means that as a child of God, as a follower of Christ, I should never and you should never have a scarcity mentality. What is the scarcity mentality? Scarcity mentality says, I'm afraid there isn't going to be enough. There's not enough to go around. So I'm going to panic. I'm going to worry. I'm going to get anxious. I'm going to be afraid. There's more than enough to go around, friends. There's plenty in the world for everybody. There's enough for all the need in the world. There's not enough for all the greed in the world. And the reason why some don't have enough is not because it isn't available. It's because it's not shared. It's not divided up. It's not equalized. And some people have a whole lot and some people have nothing. And that's a matter of being able to be generous, being willing to share voluntarily, not forced, but voluntarily out of love. There's plenty for everybody. It just needs to be shared. And so the Bible says, it's all a gift from God. There's nothing I need that God can't supply. Number three, God wants to give it. You need to know that. And you need to know it for sure, that no matter what you need in your life, God wants to give it to you. Matthew 7, verse 11 says this. If you were asked by your son for bread, would you give him a stone? The answer obviously is, of course not. How much more likely is it that your heavenly Father will give good things to those who ask him? If my kids come to me and say, Daddy, I'm hungry, what am I going to do? Give them a piece of rubber to chew on? No, I'm going to get them some food. If they're genuinely hungry, I'm going to help them out. And if I know how to do this and I'm imperfect, certainly God, who is perfect in his love toward you, wants to meet all your needs. He says God is waiting. He wants to meet your need. And that's the fourth thing. He's waiting on me. He's waiting on me. If you have needs in your life that are not being met, it's not God's fault. You're not waiting on God. He's waiting on you. Look at this next verse. Let's read it aloud together. You do not have because you do not ask God. The problem is not that God doesn't want to meet your need. The problem is you never ask him for it. God says you don't have because you don't ask. Over 20 times in the New Testament, God says, ask me. As a father, I love you and I'm waiting for you to ask. And I want you to ask. And he says, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. A-S-K, ask, seek, knock. That spells ask. He's just saying it three different ways. He says, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. He said, ask that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Over and over, we're told to ask. God says, I want you to look to me as the source for all your needs in life. That's the way I designed it. So here's my very blunt question. Who's your source?
The rest of today's message is coming your way in just a few moments. But first, if you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, or Instagram, go to PastorRick.com and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the other helpful resources. Again, that's PastorRick.com.
As you may know, Pastor Rick's Daily Hope is a listener-supported ministry. It's your prayers and financial gifts that make it possible for this broadcast to continue going out to a world that desperately needs to hear about the hope found in Jesus Christ. We are so very thankful for each and every prayer and gift you send. That's why today, when you support this ministry with a financial gift, we're going to send you a boxed set of this entire 8-message audio series called Connecting with God, the Lord's Prayer. It's our way of saying thanks for your financial support. But that's not all. We're also going to send you the brand new worship music CD from Saddleback Church titled First, featuring 6 fresh new songs of praise and worship written by Pastor Rick's amazing Saddleback worship team. Album hit number 5 on iTunes and sold out of physical CDs on the first day of release. But don't worry, we just received a new shipment, so feel free to order as many copies as you want. That's this entire 8-message audio series, Connecting with God, the Lord's Prayer, on CD or downloadable MP3s, plus the brand new music CD titled First. As our thank you for your financial support, call 800-600-5004 or go to PastorRick.com to get yours. That's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com with 2 R's in the middle. Thanks so much.
Once again, here's Rick.
You know, law enforcement, if they're picking up some money launderers or some drug addicts, they don't care about the small fries. The user, end user, they want to know who's your source. Who's your supplier? They want to get to the source. And my question to you is, for your safety, for your security, for your financial stability, who's your source? Your job? You're looking to your job to be your source of security? Friend, I hate to tell you this, you could lose your job this next year. I would not put your trust in your job. You need to look to God as your source. Now, who are you looking to meet your needs? No man will ever be able to meet all your needs. No woman will ever be able to meet all your needs. So many people go into marriage saying, oh, I found the perfect person. They're going to meet all my needs. You get married, then you find out they got bigger needs than you do. And you're going to be severely disappointed anytime you look to anybody else. Your parents can't meet all your needs. Your spouse can't meet all your needs. Your girlfriend, your boyfriend can't meet all your needs. In fact, you're setting yourself up for profound disappointment. Only God can meet all your needs. And you need to look to Him as the source of your supply. You don't look to your IRA. You don't look to your 401k. You certainly don't look to Social Security for security. You look to God for your security. And if one door closes, God can open another door. And if the faucet turns off here, God can turn on a faucet over here. And if during this next year you lose your job and 15 doors close, God can open a window. You look to Him as your source. That's what it means to depend on God. I see Him as my source. Number two. Second thing it means to depend on God is it means trusting Him for today. For today. Not for next week, not for next year, not for next month, just one day at a time. God says, I want to make this real simple. I want you to take life in bite-sized pieces, 24-hour increments. I want you to trust me just for today. Notice, the Bible does not say, give us this day our monthly bread. It doesn't say, give us this day our annual bread. It doesn't even say like a paycheck, give us this day our weekly bread. And it's interesting that since the 50s, bread has been a synonym for money. You got any dough? You got any money? You got any bread? Okay. So bread and dough, give us this day our daily dough. You know? It's to be daily. Not monthly, annually, weekly. God says, I want you to trust me one day at a time. I'm not asking you to trust me for the rest of your life. Just one 24-hour increment. We'll worry about tomorrow. And we'll worry about next week. And we'll worry about next month. I don't want you worrying about that. In fact, I don't want you worrying at all. I want you to take it one day at a time. Now, how do you do that? How do you trust God just for today? Give us today our daily bread. How do you do that? Well, there are four things that you do to trust God on a daily basis. And it just so happens that those four things are all covered in one scripture. It's Philippians 4, 6 and 8. It's on the back of your outline. It's a very important verse, so I want us to read it aloud together. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need, thanking Him for all He has done, and fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right. Think about these things that are pure and lovely and admirable and excellent and worthy of praise. Now, in this passage, He gives us the four steps to trusting God for today. And here they are. The first thing, you might write this down, He says, worry about nothing. That's the first step. Worry about nothing. He said, I don't want you worrying about anything. Don't worry about anything. Now, let me be very frank with you, very blunt. Friends, this is the hardest command in the Bible to obey. Don't worry about anything. It's the hardest command in the Bible to obey. Don't worry about anything. You know, there's some commands in the Bible I just don't find that hard, you know, to obey. When the Bible says, don't murder, that's not a big deal to me. You know, I don't find that very difficult to obey. Okay, don't murder. It's just not that hard. When the Bible says, don't commit adultery, I don't find that particularly hard. I mean, when you're married to Kay Warren, poof, you know. But this one, yeah, don't worry. You break this one 6 or 8 times a day. Okay? You get all worried about it. Now, why is worry such a big deal? And why does God say, I don't want you worrying? You may have never realized this. Worry is not just a bad habit. It's a flat-out sin. Worry is a sin. Why? Because it is an insult to God. Every time you worry, you're saying, God, I don't believe your promises. God, I don't really believe you love me. God, I don't believe you'll take care of me. God, I don't believe you'll meet all my needs. Father, I don't believe you're going to take care of me and do all the things you've promised to do. It is an insult to God. If my kids, when they were small, came to me and said, Dad, we're worried about the house. You guys don't have to worry about it. I'm going to pay for the house. Dad, we don't think you can do that. And Dad, we're worried about whether we're going to have a meal tonight. Don't worry about it. I got to take care. Dad, we don't think you're competent to take care of that. That would be an insult to me. If my kids worried that I couldn't take care of them, I would be insulted. And God is insulted when you worry. It's saying, God, I don't really believe you. When you worry, you are acting like an orphan. You're acting like you don't have a spiritual father in heaven who cares, who said, I will give you whatever you need if you'll trust me and you'll ask, if you'll depend on me. You're acting like a spiritual orphan. Do you know what worry is? Worry is the practical expression of atheism. You're acting like an atheist every time you worry. I don't believe God will keep his promises. I don't believe that God will take care of me. I believe I have to figure this out myself. You're acting like an atheist, and God is offended. And so he says, don't worry about anything. In fact, look at this verse. The Bible says, don't be anxious about tomorrow. God will take care of your tomorrow too. Live one day at a time. Now, every time God gives a negative, don't do this, he always follows it with a positive. Do this instead. Don't do this, do this. And when he says, worry about nothing, the next thing he says is this, pray about everything. He says, here's the alternative. I don't want you worrying. I want you praying. Worry about nothing. Pray about everything. Everything? Yep. Every single thing. God says, here's what you can do in life. You got two choices. You can worry or you can pray. And every day you're doing one of the others. And every time you worry, you're not praying. And every time you pray, you're not worrying. So you got two choices. You can either pray and panic or panic. Or you can worry, or you can worship. And you're always going to be doing one or the other in life. Talking to God about it, or talking to yourself. Now, worry has never solved the problem. It's never solved a single problem. It's stewing without doing. It's like sitting in a rocking chair. A lot of motion, but no forward action. Worry has never solved any problem. It is the most useless emotion. But prayer can change things. If you prayed as much as you worry, if you prayed about all the things you worry about, you'd have a lot less to worry about. Those are your alternatives. He says, worry about nothing. Instead, pray about everything. Everything? Yeah, literally. There's nothing you can't pray about. Look at this verse. Romans 8:32. Since God did not spare even his own son for us. In other words, he sent Jesus to die for us. Since God did not spare even his own son to die for us, but he gave him up for all of us, won't he also surely give us everything else? God solved your biggest problem when he sent Jesus to die for you. Your biggest problem was getting you into heaven, paying for all your sins, righting all your wrongs, earning your forgiveness. And when Jesus died for you, if God loved you enough to send Jesus to die for you, don't you think he loves you enough to take care of all these other problems? Every other problem in your life is small potatoes after salvation. Once he's come and saved you, everything else is insignificant by comparison. So he's saying, don't worry, pray about everything. And if God cared enough to die for you, then he's going to care enough to take care of all your needs. Pray about everything. Third thing he says in this verse is he says, thank God in all things. Thank God in all things. No matter, even if you lose your job, no matter, even if you lose your house, in all things, he says, give thanks. Now, circle the word in. It doesn't say for all things give thanks. It says in all things give thanks. You don't have to be thankful for bad things in your life. You should never be thankful for evil. You don't have to be thankful for cancer or a car accident or rape or a war or abuse or any of those other bad things in life. That would be sick. God doesn't say be thankful for everything. There's a lot of things that we hate in life, we dislike in life. But God says, in everything, give thanks. Why? Because I know God's going to take care of me. I know He's going to meet my needs. I know He's going to help me. I know that if I don't worry, but I trust Him, I see Him as my source, and I trust Him one day at a time, He's going to take me through this. So I thank God in all things. And then there's the fourth thing that you do. Think about the right thing. Worry about nothing, pray about everything, thank God in all things, think about the right thing. Whatever you put your mind on is what's going to get you. You fill your mind with worries, you're going to be down, depressed, discouraged, defeated. You fill your mind with the right things, you're going to be lifted up, hopeful, encouraged, and positive. Think about the right things. Now notice, he tells us, it gives us a list of things to think about. He says, fix your thoughts on what's true, honorable, right, what's pure and lovely and admirable, what's excellent, what's worthy of praise. Where do you find things that are pure and lovely to think about? At the movies? No, that's not pure and lovely at the movies. On television? No, I don't think so. Where are you going to find pure and lovely and honorable thoughts? Right here in the truth of God.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. If you'd like a copy of today's message, including portions that we didn't have time for, or you'd like to sign up for Rick's free Daily Hope email devotional, just go to PastorRick.com. That's Pastor Rick with two R's in the middle, .com. You'll find this message and others along with more helpful resources. As you may know, Pastor Rick's Daily Hope is a listener-supported ministry. It's your prayers and financial gifts that make it possible for this broadcast to continue going out to a world that desperately needs to hear about the hope found in Jesus Christ. We are so very thankful for each and every prayer and gift you send. That's why today, when you support this ministry with a financial gift, we're going to send you a box set of this entire 8-message audio series called Connecting with God, the Lord's Prayer. It's our way of saying thank you for your support. But that's not all. We're also going to send you the brand new worship music CD from Saddleback Church titled First, featuring 6 fresh new songs of praise and worship written by Pastor Rick's amazing Saddleback worship team. This album hit number 5 on iTunes and sold out of physical CDs on the first day of release. But don't worry, we just received a new shipment, so feel free to order as many copies as you like. Again, that's this entire 8-message audio series on CD or downloadable MP3s, plus the brand new music CD as our way of saying thank you for your financial support. Call 800-600-5004 or go to PastorRick.com right now to request the complete 8-message audio series and the music CD. Again, that's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. And thanks in advance for your support. Pastor Rick has a very important announcement for all pastors and church leaders about an event this June 28th through 30th.
Did you know that nearly 500,000 pastors and church leaders from all around the world have attended the Purpose-Driven Church Leadership Training? This June 28th to 30th, I've updated this 3-day conference, adding in all that I've learned in the past decade of study and practical experience. And I'm going to share new insights that'll save you from the mistakes that I made, teach you new skills that'll increase your effectiveness, and give you new hope for your ministry and for your church. You know, you've probably heard people say, it's wise to learn from experience. But I want to say, it's even wiser to learn from the experiences of others. Now, the event's almost sold out. So I want you to go to pd.church to reserve spots for your team today. Or you can order your online pass for live streaming it directly to your congregation if you're not able to be with us or it sells out. I hope you'll join us. God bless you.
The Purpose-Driven Conference is back. Register at pd.church. That's pd.church. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.